Genius.
The fully realized vision of an authentic American genius.
We need your brain.
Don't you have a brain in your head?
Ah, then I will have to adjust your brain a bit.
Every day, Billy the Brain talks with the best guests in America.
Cool.
About business.
The boss that works for you.
Entertainment. Sports.
Turn now to sports.
And the local community.
Radio keeps its eye on local events.
It's time for brainstorming.
My brain is like mush.
With Billy the Brain.
Sounds like fun. Let's go.
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Hi, this is Bill Frank, and you're listening to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. We're on every day, Monday through Friday, here at KKZZ AM 1400, Positive Talk Radio for Ventura County. You can also hear us streaming over the internet at brainstormingonline.com. My goal is to bring you interviews with thought leaders in business, entertainment, sports, and the local community. Together, we'll listen to what these people say and relate it to how we live and work right here in Ventura County. If all of this sounds like National Public Radio, well, you're getting the idea. Brainstorming with Billy the Brain is NPR done right. If you want to join the conversation, you can call us at 639-0008. That's 639-0008. Or if you're out of the county, area code 805-639-0008. Every show has a theme, and today's theme is influencing people. All three of my guests influence others in the course of their jobs, but each with their own unique style. My first guest influences people through his words and his melodies. They say music has the power to soothe the savage beast. I don't know about that, but I do know that this man's music has been soothing me for over four decades now. With roots in gospel, folk, country, rock and roll, my next guest has navigated the music scene from obscurity to the pinnacles of popular success, eventually finding his own groove back in the folk, country, rock, where he began. Chris Hillman was born in Los Angeles. He was one of the original members of the Byrds in 1965, along with Roger McGuinn, Gene Clark, David Crosby, and Michael Clark. Chris Hillman is the youngest of four children, spent his early years growing up on the family ranch in North San Diego County. He credited his older sister with exciting his interest in music when she came home from college in the late 50s with folk records underneath her arms. Chris soon began watching many of the country music shows broadcast on local TV in Southern California, things like Town Hall Party, Spade Cooley, and Cal's Corral. Go see Cal, go see Cal, go see Cal. Hillman's mother encouraged his musical interests and bought him his first guitar, and he shortly thereafter developed an interest in bluegrass and fell in love with the mandolin. In an interesting twist of fate, in mid-1964, Chris considered quitting music and enrolling in UCLA, but then he got the call from his former manager, Jim Dixon, to join a new band called The Byrds. He was recruited to play the electric bass guitar, even though he didn't know how to play the guitar at time. So it's interesting. After The Byrds, Chris joined the Flying Burrito Brothers, Stephen Stills Manassas, a Souther Hillman Furay Band, the Desert Rose Band, and finally Chris Hillman and Herb Pedersen. Welcome to the show, Chris. Great to have you here.
Bill, thank you. That was so well done. Well, concise.
Well,
little
thank you.
Background. Yeah.
You know, you've got a fantastic
history. You had every pertinent fact there. Thank you, Bill.
Well, my pleasure, and thank you for being here. Now, one of the things that's always interested me is that you were credited, you and the band The Byrds, were credited as being the originators of country rock. I mean, you were the forefathers of the Flying Burrito Brothers, Poco, one of my favorite bands, the Eagles, Dan Fogelberg, Pure Prairie League, and mm-hmm. others. What resonates with you about country music?
You know, it was so funny. I, as you were talking, my sister Susan, who's came home and of course had these wonderful folk albums, and they weren't the Kingston Trio, which was popular at the time. It was Lead Belly, it was Pete Seeger, it was the Weavers, it was Woody Guthrie. That's what drew my attention, and that was an easy. It wasn't a stretch for me. All of a sudden, I'm watching Spade Cooley, the shows you were mentioning, and my mother and father thought I was insane. My dad used to say to my mom, he says, "Are you sure this is our son?" Because they listened to big band music. So there was music in the house all the time, but it was just wonderful. Count Basie, Duke Ellington, lots of Sinatra. Wonderful music. But here I am listening to Spade Cooley and gravitating towards country music from the folk music that I listened to. All of a sudden, I heard bluegrass and old-time string music, and it just touched a nerve with me. I don't know what it was. I think a lot of it, if I could analyze it, would be the singing, and which was basically out of the church. All music, really, the foundation is the church, you know, be it rhythm and blues or country music. And the singing touched a nerve with me, the 2- and 3-4-part harmony, the improvisational artistry of bluegrass, and they're playing fast and they're playing these intricate solos got to me, you know, and it also sort of related to jazz that I'd heard as subliminally as a kid.
So you were growing up even listening to jazz. That's
I was.
Eclectic musical taste.
I was, but it was subliminal. And, of course, you know, in my generation, we got the very best and the beginnings of rock and roll. Mm. So in 1955, 1956, I was in the elementary school. I was in the sixth grade when Elvis Presley came out. But those years, 56 through 58, were unbelievable. Of Chuck Berry, Little Richard, and Fats Domino, Jerry Lee Lewis, Elvis Presley. What an innovative time.
Yes.
And then it quieted down. And in that time period of 58 to 60, 61 was folk music on campus. Kingston Trio came along. And it just went in cyclical phases of music.
Kingston Trio, big tit, was Tom Dooley. Hang Down Your Head, Tom
right.
Dooley, and, circa, what, 1960, 61?
Yeah, and they, and Dave Gard, the original banjo player, actually learned to play the banjo from a Pete Seeger 5-string banjo course,
wow.
Which is really interesting. And there was Pete, who had been playing since the 40s with the Weavers and Woody Guthrie and all that. So.
Very interesting. We're talking to Chris Hillman, everybody. One of the best-known songs that the Byrds ever put together back in 1965 was Turn, Turn, Turn. Its lyrics actually come from the Bible. Very interesting. It's one of the few rock anthems to do so, perhaps the only one that I can think of. Pete Seeger wrote it, I believe, originally. Correct me if I'm wrong there. Why did the Byrds decide to cover Turn, Turn, Turn?
Pete actually, I think the story, and just a quick little aside, Pete was carrying around the verses from Solomon, King Solomon's original Ecclesiastes 3 was To Every Season. And he had written this little bridge to it, to every season, to everything, turn, turn, turn. There is a season, turn, 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 and a time for every purpose under heaven, which is really what Pete had written along with the music.
Okay.
And then he was getting a lot of pressure because the Weavers, the group he was in, had a big hit with Goodnight Irene, or Irene Goodnight. And he had these in his pocket, and he puts the music together. Bang. But that wasn't it. The Byrds got hold of it through Roger McGuinn, our lead singer. And Roger had produced Judy Collins prior to being in the Byrds. Roger was pretty much the most seasoned player in the group at the time when we started out. He had already produced a record, Judy Collins. He'd been on the road with all these different groups as an accompanist. And Judy had done Turn, Turn, Turn because she heard Pete Seeger do it. So Roger produced her doing this song, and I'll never forget, we're on a bus tour in the Midwest. It's 1965. We'd already had Mr. Tambourine Man out. The Bob Dylan song was number one single. And he says, what do you think of this song? And he plays me Turn, Turn. I said, I think it's really a great tune. Let's work it up. I don't know why he asked me. I was the bass player. I was the shy guy in the back line. I really was the prominent guy in the Byrds. But he asked me my advice. I said, I think it's a great song. To me, it is the signature song of the Byrds. and probably you're right. It's the only time actual scripture, a scriptural verse has been in the top 40 Billboard charts, you know.
Without a doubt,
and
yeah.
And it's an amazing song. I've actually spoken on the song to a high school English class and a college English class on the verses of Solomon. And it's really the way he wrote it, it's really all black and white. It's good and bad and right and wrong. There's no gray area there.
Mm-hmm.
And relevant then, let's say 7,000 years ago, off the top of my head, I can get corrected by a theologian on that, but relevant today.
Oh, absolutely.
More so than ever.
Absolutely.
You
We're
know,
all looking for it.
And I have sung that song at funerals. I have sung it in church situations. And Roger McGuinn, bless his heart, sang it at our wedding, Connie and my wedding, 31 years ago.
How nice.
As we came down, the thing he's singing, To Everything, Turn, Turn. It was just beautiful.
Oh.
So, I don't know, the touch happened, so we're still here.
Yes, definitely. After 31 years. Big shout out to you and shout out to Connie.
She's up for
well.
Sainthood, I might add, Bill Summit.
We'll talk to the Pope about canonizing her. But, all right, today's theme, Chris, is influencing people. And everybody has other people who influence their lives. Some call them teachers, mentors, role models, whatever you want to call them. They give us the opportunities that we might not have otherwise had. Mm-hmm. I really like the expression Isaac Newton said, "If I have seen farther, it's because I'm standing on the shoulder of giants." Now, in your career, you must have had people who have influenced you, mentors and so forth. Give us a little bit of the background, peek behind the curtain. Who really helped influence your musical career?
Angela. Other than the ones I mentioned through record. But there were people that I don't think, Bill, that I really was aware of at the time until I got a little older. And so here I am picking up the guitar in high school, sophomore in high school, and prior to the mandolin even, and I'm getting this great love of country music. And one of my friends says, you know, the custodian, the head custodian, Bill Smith, plays in a country band. And I go over and I introduce myself. I'm 15 years old. And Bill was such a sweet guy. He must have been in his early 30s. And he said, come on over to the house Saturday, and we'll play some guitar together. He taught me so much. He played me unbelievable records. He used to work on the weekends in a little country band. Of course, you know, you say that in those days. Yeah, you could go over to the school janitor's house after school and learn guitar. You know, it wasn't some madness out there. Mm. But he was a mentor. Okay, there's a mentor. There was another fellow, the first band I was in, the Scottsville Squirrel Barkers. It's a bluegrass band in San Diego. And the bass player was a retired San Diego police officer, Ed Douglas, still alive, healthy as can be, was a huge mentor and big brother, father figure to me because I lost my dad in high school when I was in high school. Ed was great, but not so much in the music sense as more as just a mentor in just life.
In the life sense, yeah.
Exactly, and going for things. And as I went through life, I would encounter these different people that were always sort of pointing the way ever so subtly. And I don't think, as I said earlier, it dawned on me until later. And I was preparing this talk I gave at the Library of Congress a year ago. And I said, you know, the subtext of this isn't about my career. It's about the people that guided me. There were these guideposts. Yeah, I was presented with choices. Some of them weren't, I didn't make the right choices all the time. We never do. But I always had these people sort of mentoring me in that sense. And then I started, not by, you know, it just sort of happened to me where I was turning around and doing it to somebody else.
Oh, that's okay. Tremendous.
You know, I mean, the Byrds, we didn't make the kind of money that some of these bands made, or even back then. But what we did, we left this great path, a musical path that so many bands followed. We created a style of music just because we weren't really a rock band in the sense we all came out of folk music, and we created this style of music without a blueprint or a plan, and left this wonderful musical path for others to follow. So in a sense, that worked that way too.
You know? And so you, in your turn, gave back to those who followed behind you.
I do, and I teach, you know, young kids or anybody that wants to learn, I'll teach them. I don't want money. I'll teach them mandolin. I have about 3 or 4 students locally. Got a couple of kids in town here. Kids meaning one's 15, one's 22. They're unbelievable. They are so good. They're ready to teach
prodigies?
Me. They're good. And they're starting to turn around and show me stuff. And you learn through teaching.
Absolutely.
Because, you know, you really do learn. You re-examine every step of the way as you teach somebody else.
We're talking to Chris Hillman, everybody, one of the original members of the Byrds. Our theme today, of course, is influencing people. We've got a break here, Chris, do some commercials. But when we come back, and this is to the audience listening out there, I've got some coupons to give away. I'm getting a little bit hungry. It's time for lunch. I've got some sandwiches that I can give away from Urbane Cafe. We'll give those away right after the commercial break. Join us after this short break.
Everything turn, turn, turn. There is a season, turn, turn, turn.
And now, back to brainstorming with Billy.
The Living Brain.
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
listen to that. Welcome back, everybody. This is Bill Frank. You're listening to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. My very special guest today is Chris Hillman. He's in studio. We're talking about our theme, which is influencing people. And before we went away to break, I promised our listeners that I'd have a coupon to give away. I'll give that away to the third caller, 639-0008, 639-0008. It's for a free sandwich or a free salad at Urbane Cafe. They have a new location in Oxnard at the intersection of Rose and Rose and Vineyard there. So look out for that and call in to get your coupon. 639-0008, 639-0008. Chris, we were talking about some of the people who had an influence on your life, both musically and personally as well. You were mentioning just before that we went away to the break that you're giving back to people who want to learn the mandolin from you. Let me ask you, as you look back over your career, and it's spanned several decades now, from your perspective, what are some of the highlights that you've had in your career?
Oh, gosh, Bill. Playing on the Ed Sullivan Show was great, and I was so shy back then. I would just sort of absorb everything around me. But I'll never forget, here was a show that I'd grown up as a young kid watching every Sunday night, and everybody knew when Ed Sullivan was on. It was Sunday night, it's Ed Sullivan's on, live television. I'll never forget, I'm backstage waiting to go on, and we're playing live. And next to me was a man with four German Shepherds, and he's rehearsing those dogs. They're going in a circle, and he's giving them, you know, they always bring something out of their pocket for the dog. It was a funny thing. I'm sitting there holding my bass, watching this man. I said, oh my God. But at the moment, it didn't dawn on me. But 2 days later, we're still in New York, and I get a cab, and this guy says, hey, you were on the Sullivan Show the other night. So it was a big thing, and that was a highlight. It was a highlight hearing our song on the radio for the first time. And over the years, there were various ups and downs in it, you know. And I think Desert Rose Band was the culmination of, I always felt, a long apprenticeship. I was a team player. I was a band player. And Desert Rose Band, I went from first mate to captain, so to speak. So, I mean, I was singing lead, writing the songs, and it was still the best band, I think, ever. And we still play. We do occasionally play every few years. We just did a few shows this year, original guys. But that was a real highlight. That was a huge highlight in the Desert Rose Band around 1987 when we had a top 10 country single all over the country. I didn't believe it. That it was something I had written and sang on. Because I wasn't a good singer up until, gosh, I finally learned how to sing, I think, in the late 70s. And, I mean, it took me a long time to get the confidence and to really develop my voice.
Now, it's interesting. We're talking to Chris Hillman, everybody, and I've got to throw in my two cents worth, because you were very influential to me when you were with Stephen Stills at Manassas. Mm. Now, you say you came into your own as a singer in the late 70s, but Stephen Stills Manassas was early 70s to mid 70s. And I thought you were quite good at that point.
But, you know, and there's a good mentor. Working with Stephen was really good. He's such a gifted player and singer and songwriter. So, once again, I had already been writing songs in the Burrs and the Flying Burrito Brothers with Graham Parsons, and I go with Stephen. And I learned so much more about crafting a song from him, and vocal things. And he is a phenomenal acoustic guitar player. People don't really know that. But you listen to that old Crosby, Stills, Nash stuff off the first album, and he's playing acoustic guitar leads, and phenomenal player. Oh, I learned a lot of guitar from him. So point being, where do we go from there? You never stop learning.
Right.
Okay. I take lessons. There's a gentleman in Oxnard, I believe on the morning show, with Spence and all the guys, they were doing a guitar players thing one day, and I almost called in because there's a man in Oxnard, Bob Bain. Bob Bain was in the Tonight Show Orchestra. You might want to bring him on the show sometime. Here's an interesting man. Started out playing with Tommy Dorsey. Played on most of the Sinatra sessions, Dean Martin sessions, played the theme to Bonanza, Peter Gunn, all of these things, was in the Tonight Show Orchestra with Doc Severinsen for the entire Johnny Carson run. One of the sweetest guys in the world and a phenomenal musician. He's about 86. Bob, if you're listening, I hope I got that right. And he is so kind to me and shows me things. Jazz chords. I'm not going to ever play them on stage, but point is, you continue to learn, and there's a mentor too, Bob Bain.
Sure. We'll circle back around to the earlier conversation we were having when you were growing up in your family, the influences that you have from other music, from other musical styles, craft who you are today. And even though you don't play big band sound, you grew up listening to that. You appreciate Bob Bain's ability to play for a Tommy Dorsey band or to play with the Severinsen band. So I can understand that. We're talking to Chris Hillman, everybody. Before we go on with the interview, big shout out to Deanna. Deanna, you're the winner of the coupon for the sandwich just in time for lunch. That's from Urbane Cafe down in Oxnard. We'll have another sandwich to give away in our second half hour as well. So if you didn't win this time, stay tuned. You'll be able to win in the second half hour as well. Now, Chris, you and Connie have both lived here in Ventura County for some time. And, you know,
almost the 31 years we've been
almost
married.
Almost all 31 years? Wow, that is incredible. You could literally live anywhere in the world, and yet you choose to live here in Ventura County. Tell me, what's the draw? What's the appeal of Ventura and Ventura County for you?
Well, I think I'm a third-generation Californian. I don't know where the relevance is there, but my great-grandfather came out to Los Angeles in the 1880s. Growing up in San Diego County, inland about 4 or 5 miles, I actually lived in Rancho Santa Fe, which is a very wealthy community now, but then it wasn't sort of middle class then, but back in the 50s, and then the beach was there. I think the thing that Connie and I, we really wanted to be close enough to L.A. for business at the time. We moved here in 79, 1980, I believe. But that Ventura still had this wonderful feeling of an old late 40s, early 50s beach town, Southern California beach town. That's what it was. And then when we originally moved up, the first house we lived in was on one of the lanes, Hanover Lane, down of Pierpont.
Yep.
And so we've lived all over the county in a couple of houses, and it's nice. We like Ventura. It's a nice small town. It's gotten a little bigger. It's interesting, always.
Interesting. Yeah, always. Well put. Well, if you're interested, you can stay tuned because at our second half hour, we're going to have Mike Tracy, Deputy Mayor of Ventura, is going to be here as our guest as well. Let me just shotgun some names at you, people that you've played with in the past. I'd like your top-of-mind impressions of them. And this is a guy that you played with Souther Hillman Furé band, Richie Furé, who was also one of the founders of Buffalo Springfield and then later on Poco as well. Top-of-mind thoughts for Richie.
I just performed with him about 3 weeks ago at this festival in Copper Mountain, Colorado, which is on the Western Slope ski resort. And Richie was playing, and I went up and sang with him. He is a wonderful man, sweetest man around. And, of course, he is a Calvary Chapel minister. Mm-hmm. And he has a big congregation in Boulder, Colorado, very devout in his faith. Great musician, great singer, and just a dear friend. And I can't tell you enough about him. He's just a sweetheart.
I've always been impressed with his vocal harmony.
I'll tell you something, Bill. I sat and watched their band 3 weeks ago, and I've never heard him sing better than 3 weeks ago. I went, oh my gosh, he just was beautiful. And I said, that's the best I've ever heard you sing. And it was just great. Anyway, so.
No, that is great. You've talked about him. You brushed by him briefly. That was Roger McGuinn. Roger McGuinn with the Byrds early on. And you still, I believe, are friends with him to this day.
I hope so. No, we're friends.
I'm not trying to break any news
on
Brainstorming.
Roger is a great musician. As I said earlier, he was when the band started, he was certainly the best musician in the bunch. He was very seasoned, had been traveled around the world. He'd accompanied the Chad Mitchell Trio. He worked for Bobby Darin for a long time and produced Judy Collins and stuff. So when we got together, he really had been around. Developed a style. If you want to, that is the Byrds. Is Roger's guitar playing, and he was the singer, and everybody had a part. Everybody had a very integral part of the Byrds. David Crosby, beautiful harmony singer, even to this day. He still sings beautifully. I learned to play the bass really off of Roger, off of working with Roger. And everybody had their part, but Roger really developed that sound. We all worked off of his 12-string guitar. We really did. Yeah.
Herb Pedersen, who you're playing with now?
let me tell you something. It's Peterson.
Peterson.
They
sorry.
Get every day sorry. Gets this.
Sorry.
I said he should change the spelling. Herb's. I met Herb when I was 18 years old in Los Angeles, 1963. And he was in a bluegrass band, and I was in a bluegrass band. He came from Berkeley. I came up from San Diego County. And we've remained very close friends all these years. and still work together. Of course, we didn't work together until the Desert Rose Band. He was a founding member. Now we work as a duet.
What is it over, I mean, the course of that many years working with somebody, what is it about your two styles that mesh up so nicely?
Well, he is such a phenomenal singer, Bill. He was a huge session singer, meaning he'd went in and sang on everybody's records in the 70s, 80s, 90s. James Taylor, Linda Ronstadt, Kenny Rogers, huge list of people. And Herb's the guy that makes us all sound good. Just a phenomenal singer. And a vocal arranger. He worked with Dolly Parton and Linda Ronstadt and Emmylou Harris on their album and arranged their vocal parts. Great to work with. Professional. He's there when you need him. And we really have fun working together. And we've known each other so long, it's like we're brothers, you know. And we've gone through every facet, you know, where we've wanted to strangle each
love,
other.
Love, hate.
Well, yeah, you know, but thing. We get along and give each other the space. But it's a good working relationship. And like I say, we make a lot of music together. It's
and
fun.
Speaking of music that you make together, you and Herb have a new CD that's out, don't you?
We have a CD came out yesterday on Rounder Records, and it's an album we did live, Chris Hillman, Herb Peterson, live at Edwards Barn. Edwards Barn is a venue up in Napomo, in the middle of the state, and came out great. We had added some extra musicians. It's an acoustic album. It's not a bluegrass record, but it's more of a acoustic country album. So we're doing bird songs, all kinds of stuff on it. And came out great.
Rounder Records, it's available in record stores everywhere or online.
Yeah, wherever, if you can find a record store. No. Barnes & Noble, probably Borders, Amazon, website, chrishillman.com, rounder.com. It's out there.
It's out there. Yeah. Chris, I can't believe how quickly the time flies by. Thank you so much for being our special guest here today on Brainstorming with Billy the Brain.
Thank you, Bill.
Great.
My pleasure.